CD 6.
Oh dear, this is so complicated, said Otto. Look, the philosopher Kling says the mind has a dark side and a light side, you see, and dark light is seen by the dark eyes of the mind. He paused again.
Yes, said Saccharissa politely.
I was waiting for the roll of thunder, said the vampire. But, alas, this is not Ubewald.
You've lost me there, said Saccharissa.
Well, you see, if I was to say something portentous like the dark eyes of the mind back home in Ubewald, there would be a sudden crash of thunder, said Otto. And if I was to point at a castle on a towering crag and say, yonder is the castle, a wolf would be bound to howl mournfully, he sighed. In the old country, the scenery is psychotropic and knows what is expected of it. Here, alas, people just look at you in a funny way.
All right, all right. It's a magical light that takes uncanny pictures, said Saccharissa.
That's a very newspaper way of putting it, said Otto politely.
He showed her the iconograph.
Look at this one. I wanted a picture of a dwarf working in the patrician study, and I got this.
The picture was a wash of blurs and swirls, and there was a vague outline of a dwarf lying down on the floor and examining something. But superimposed on this was quite a clear picture of Lord Vetinari. Two pictures of Lord Vetinari, each figure staring at the other.
Well, it's his office, and he's always in there, said Saccharissa. Does the magic light pick that up?
Maybe, said Otto. We know that what is physically there is not always what is really there. Look at this one.
He handed her another picture.
Oh, that's a good one of William, she said, in the cellar, and that's Lord de Word standing just behind him, isn't it?
Is it? Said the vampire. I don't know the man. I do know that he was not in the cellar when I took the picture. But you only have to talk to Mr. William for any length of time to see that, in a way, his father is always looking over his shoulder.
That's creepy.
Saccharissa looked around the cellar. The stone walls were old and stained, but they certainly weren't blackened.
I just saw people, men fighting, flames and silver rain. How could it rain underground?
I do not know. That's why I study dark light.
Noises above suggested that William and Goodmountain had returned.
I wouldn't mention this to anyone else, said Saccharissa, heading for the ladder. We've got enough to deal with. That's creepy.
There was no name outside the bar because those who knew what it was didn't need one. Those who didn't know what it was shouldn't go in. Ankh-Morpork's undead were, on the whole, a law-abiding bunch, if only because they knew the law paid them a certain amount of special attention. But if you walked into the place known as Beers on a dark night and had no business there, who would ever know? For the vampires, those, that is, who weren't gathered around the harmonium at the temperance mission, nervously singing songs about how much they liked cocoa, it was a place to hang up. For the werewolves, it was where you let your hair down. For the bogeymen, it was a place to come out of the closet. For the ghouls, it did a decent meat pasty and chips. All eyes, and that was not the same thing as the number of heads multiplied by two, turned to the door when it creaked open. The newcomers were surveyed from dark corners. They wore black, but that didn't mean anything. Anyone could wear black. They walked up to the bar, and Mr. Pin rapped on the stained wood. The barman nodded. The important thing he'd found was to make sure ordinary people paid for their drinks as they bought them. It wasn't good business to let them run a tab. That showed an unwarranted optimism about the future. "What can I—" he began, before Mr. Tulip's hand caught him round the back of the neck and rammed his head down hard on the bar. "I am not having a nice day," said Mr. Pin, turning to the world in general, "and Mr. Tulip here suffers from unresolved personality conflicts. Has anyone got any questions?" An indistinct hand rose in the gloom.
What, cook?"
said a voice. Mr. Pin opened his mouth to reply and then turned to his colleague, who was examining the bar's array of very strange drinks. All cocktails are sticky. The ones in Beers tended to be stickier.
"It says kill the cook," said the voice.
Mr. Tulip rammed two long kebab skewers into the bar, where they vibrated.